We're going to start off with a work session on Senate Bill 123. Senator Riley has been working on this bill, and we sent it to the floor once. It needed a technical fix, came back to us. And let's first take Kyle's briefing and then talk to Senator Riley.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Yes, as you said, at Senate Bill 123, we do have the dash A3. So just as a reminder, the underlying bill, Senate Bill 123, again, is the bill allowing for the creation of the children's special districts. It'd be a property tax special district. And the changes in the A3 are making some modifications to the definition of children, which would make it as individuals who are not more than 18 years old. And then also children's services, which, and that's what the district would be doing, is a service that supports children's total health and well-being that are provided to children outside of school hours. And then the change outside of the definitional changes does relate to it's requiring a children's special district that dedicates any of the revenues of the special district to be used for educational services. So again, that goes back to the measure five compression differences. You have education and then non-education, which we generally refer to as general government. But so if a court finds that the special district has used any of its revenue on the education side of things, it's then required to discontinue those services and use them for use that revenue for a different project. We do have the FIS and the fiscal impact statement, the revenue impact statement. I'm happy to talk about that now.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the fiscal, we got an indeterminate. It does the fiscal and the revenue impact actually touch on both kind of the same theme. It's just talking about there is a potential when you create a new district to affect the Measure 5 compression of other districts. So whether or not that comes on the general government side or the education side, it could influence by having another district. It could increase compression in areas that are right on the border of compression or where they're already in compression. So if there's already districts on the general government side in compression, if you add a new district that's then taxing on the government, the general government side of the Measure 5 compression rates, you could add more compression in that area. And that's just the fiscal and the revenue impact statement just highlight those two instances. And the fiscal really touches more on there could be the potential for litigation, because of course for a court to determine that children's special district is spending its revenues on the education side, someone with standing is going to have to bring litigation against it. So that's the risk, I guess, that's raised on the fiscal impact statement.
Okay. Senator Riley, maybe do kind of the same thing, your version, the overall goal and the technical change that this fixed is. It gets pretty technical, but looks like it achieved its purpose.
Yeah, the goal, of course, is to have FITS programs funded and run for children 18 and younger, and this bill would create the possibility of having a district which could raise funds with a vote of the people, or it could receive grants from foundations, that sort of thing. This is what the Commissioner on Children and Families used to do. They used to get a lot of grants and use those grants for programs that were run then by other organizations like the Boys and Girls Clubs or whatever. This is just an organization to find and create those programs for those kids. This technical fix, I talked for a long time with LC about how to make sure that this doesn't come out of the education side of the funds, and this is the fix that will do that. It's a bill that makes a lot of sense to me. We need it to have things for kids for out of school time. There's arguments that those exist. Well, some do, some don't. Some places have them, some places don't, and almost everywhere they cost. And this is an attempt to keep the kids off the street and out of trouble.
Okay. questions? Senator Boquist, welcome.
We have work session.
We are.
Are you ready? Mr. Chair, I move the A3 dated 4/21/17 into SB 123.
Senator Boquist moves the dash threes into Senate Bill 123. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, dash threes are in.
Mr. Chair, I move SB 123 as amended by the A3 to the floor with the due pass.
Senator Boquist moves that Senate Bill 123 go to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Riley.
Aye.
Senator Taylor.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Yep.
Chair House. House votes aye. Senate Bill 123 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate for a second time. Senator Riley, we don't always get second chances in life.
This is true.
You will carry this bill.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 28. And Chris, this is the market performance bill. Could you update us on where we are? We have a new revenue update.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. As I mentioned last week, getting back into more information regarding the potential revenue impact. Since the public hearing a couple weeks ago, almost shortly thereafter, I started getting information from various sources of links to basically our revenue impact statements for other states. And getting into that information, some of the states just relied on other core states, so there was kind of a domino effect. But focusing on a handful of states that seemed to have done some original research on this, looked at their estimated impacts, made some adjustments for Oregon, and started going down a path of many complicated ways to arrive at this, but ultimately, you know, complicated isn't better. Necessarily better. So I basically have a weighted average of the impacts of the other states, adjusting for the size of Oregon's economy, and have a revenue impact that's about $5.5 million a year. So this percentage impact taken from the experience, or at least the estimated experience of the other states applied to the corporation forecast, gets a revenue impact that we see in the statement there, which is about $5.5 million a year, beginning with tax year 2018.
Okay. And last week we had testimony from some business groups, Amazon.com among them, supporting the dash eights. Then we had the dash nines. There's a problem with financial institutions disagreeing. And I've asked Paul Cosgrove to be here and kind of sort out the issues of underlying the eights and the nines. Thanks for coming in. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul Cosgrove, representing the Oregon Bankers Association and Independent Community Banks. The concern is not with respect to the base bill. The concern has to do with its impact on the special rules that are in existence and were not intended to be changed by this bill that apply to financial institutions and one other industry, which are all set forth in Department of Revenue rules. I think over the weekend we've reached an agreement with the Department of Revenue on a solution to our concerns. And the concerns were based on some references in the department's rules back to some of the statutes being affected, yet we didn't expect that they should be affected, and how to make sure that that just didn't happen in a clear way. The dash eights inserted a clause that said the intangible sales would not be applied with respect to financial institutions in one subsection, subsection 3C, and that was of concern to the Department of Revenue because it might imply to a court that other sections would be applicable. So what we're solution that we are proposing that would require drafting of a new amendment is just to have a new section of the bill that says section 2 does not apply to the financial institutions and other entities that have these special rules that are essentially equivalent in terms of allocation and apportionment of income. And I think if the chair is willing to wait for the new dash 10s, which would encompass that concept, I think our concerns would be addressed, and the concerns of all the tax lawyers that I've been dealing with over the weekend would be addressed, for which we appreciate.
Okay. Jeff Henderson, can you come up?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jeff Henderson, Department of Revenue, for the record. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I agree with the statements of Paul. We worked on this over the weekend, and there was concern that adding specific reference to financial institutions as the Dash 8 did would arguably, by inserting that into the UDIPA provisions, there was concern that somehow that would mean that this one didn't apply, but the others somehow do apply. So the suggestion that Paul referenced would satisfy our concerns. Just a restating that these provisions do not apply to financial institutions or public utilities. They're subject to apportion by rule under 314-280.
Okay. All right. Questions?
Question. Looking at the revenue impact statement, I mean, it's going to raise revenue quite a bit of revenue. Do we have to have a three-fifths vote?
Nope. It's fine. Question, Mr. Chair?
Senator Boquist?
Question, staff. Chris, regards to the revenue forecast, I mean, by switching from one to the other, it's 5-5. If there was an opt-in or opt-out, would it be indeterminate, or would it be flat, or would it go the other direction? If you allowed companies to opt-in or opt-out, or did a five-year phase-in or something along that line. I mean, this is a positive revenue because we're switching. And if we did opt-in and opt-out, would that become a negative revenue most likely?
It probably would be negative because an opt-in or opt-out, then depending on the exact structure, mm-hmm. if corporations have the choice, they would choose the lesser.
Right. So basically be almost reverse of this.
Probably.
Right. Thank you.
Other questions?
Dash 10.
Okay. We will work together and thanks for being so amenable and flexible. Oh, and
thank you, Mr.
Hold
Chair.
Off on this. And we'll carry this over to Wednesday. Should have it by Wednesday. I would point out, and Olis, I don't know if you're here, Senator Birchsugar, last week Amazon.com was here, said that yes, this will actually increase our tax bill, but we like the certainty and stability this offers, so we supported the base bill. So that's all we have on our agenda today.
Revenue forecast tomorrow
at 8:30, and then the joint committee after that at 9:30, or as soon as the forecast is over. So with that, we will adjourn. We will adjourn.